keeping up with the sheer volume of policy coming out of Washington is, well, it's a full-time job. And when you're talking about artificial intelligence and national security, the information overload is just, it's real.
It is. You get these critical details that are scattered across, you know, completely different documents that don't seem related at all on the surface.
Exactly. You've got the strategy over here, the funding bill over there, and action plans somewhere else.
Right. It's the classic strategy versus funding versus execution problem. You really have to read all three together. You read them separately, you just get, well, confusion. But you read them together, and what you get is a coherent blueprint.
And that's our mission in this deep dive. We're going to synthesize that blueprint for you. We're deep diving into the wiring of American AI power, and we're looking at three key documents: the late 2025 National Security Strategy, the big funding engine, which is the FY 2025 NDAA, and the White House's AI Action Plan.
And when you stack them up, they really reveal the emerging U.S. doctrine for AI dominance, the why, the what, and the how.
So what's the core finding here right up front?
I think if we can just boil it down, it's this. AI has officially moved past being, you know, an optional add-on or some cool experimental prototype. It is now a statutory obligation. It's the new organizing principle for the entire defense enterprise.
A statutory obligation. So legally required.
Legally required. And we're moving so fast that the next national defense strategy, when it finally arrives, it won't just have an AI chapter. AI is going to be the logic that wires the entire document together.
That set the stakes incredibly high. Okay, so let's unpack this. Let's start with the foundational why. Why is the government forcing this this pretty radical change, and why now?
That takes us straight to the December 2025 National Security Strategy, the NSS. This is where the high-level justification comes from. It's where big policy ideas become actual strategy.
And what's the key takeaway from the NSS?
What's crucial is that it explicitly elevates U.S. dominance in a few key areas, AI, biotech, and quantum computing, and it calls them a core, vital national interest.
Wait, hang on. A vital national interest? That's a very specific term of art, isn't it? It has legal and budgetary weight.
Exactly. It's not just a means to an end, like AI helps us win wars. The document frames it as an objective in itself. Winning in AI is the vital national interest.
So how does that connect to everything else?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. When you elevate AI this high, the NSS starts connecting that technological edge directly to domestic priorities. Things like reindustrialization and this is really key energy dominance.
And I'm guessing the document isn't too subtle about what kind of energy it means.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It argues that cheap, abundant energy, and it actually lists oil, gas, coal, and nuclear, is required to sustain cutting-edge technologies such as AI. It draws a direct line.
So what does that mean for someone, say, tracking budget fights in Congress?
It means that things like data centers, chip fabrication plants, and the massive energy grid you need to power them, they're not just economic choices anymore. They're not background IT expenses that you can cut.
They become strategic conditions.
Strategic conditions for maintaining our AI advantage. The NSS says the nation must win at AI, so any money you spend on compute or high-security data centers can be defended as a strategic end in itself. This is how defense AI policy becomes industrial and energy policy.
That's fascinating. Okay, so if the NSS sets the table and gives us the why, the next question is, where does the money actually go? What action is mandatory?
And that's where the FY 2025 NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, comes in. This one authorized a top line of around $895 billion, and it's really the first cut of the what. It turns that grand strategy into specific, legally binding marching orders.
You know, what's striking about it is not the top line number, but where the AI language is showing up.
Exactly. It's the sheer volume of AI and data mandates scattered throughout the readiness and logistics titles. Congress is fundamentally forcing AI out of the research labs and into the, you know, the boring but decisive parts of the enterprise.
The places where readiness actually lives.
Right. The depots, the shipyards, contract administration, all the unglamorous stuff.
And this isn't just like gentle encouragement. We're talking about specific legal obligations.
Oh, absolutely. There are three details that you really need to know.
Right.
First, look at the logistics mandates. There's a section directing the Secretary of Defense to start pilot programs using AI-enabled software to optimize workflows in depots and shipyards.
The fact that they're targeting depots, which are basically giant, slow military repair shops, that feels revolutionary.
Yeah.
You're putting AI right at the point of fixing planes and ships.
Yes. The backlog in those places is a huge readiness problem. Oh. And now AI is legally mandated as part of the solution. Second, there's a section demanding investment in advanced and scalable data infrastructure.
Which means?
It explicitly calls for using AI to organize and index the absolute torrent of data coming off aircraft and ships to support maintenance. It's treating data, indexed by AI, as a core part of readiness.
Okay, and what was the third piece? There's a governance part, right?
Yes, and this is where the power structure starts to shift. A section elevates the Chief Digital and Artificial Intelligence Officers Council, the CDAO's council. They are now tasked with identifying which AI models pose a national security risk if our adversaries get them, and then building strategies to stop that from happening.
That is a huge bureaucratic power shift. The tech leader now has a direct, say, almost a veto over traditional security protocols in some areas.
It is. The bottom line from the NDAA is pretty clear. Congress is telling the Pentagon that AI has to show up in the audited books and the maintenance logs. It can't just be a boutique capability anymore. It creates real accountability.
Okay, so we've covered the strategic why from the NSS and the mandatory what from the NDAA. Now let's move to the operational how. How does this all get executed?
That brings us to the July 2025 America's AI Action Plan. If the other documents are the blueprint, this White House document is the plumbing behind all the rhetoric.
The plumbing. I like that.
The action plan lays out over 90 federal goals, and they're organized under three pillars: accelerate innovation, build infrastructure, and lead internationally. It's basically the national level support structure for what the NDAA is mandating inside the Pentagon.
So what are the key pieces of plumbing in there for defense?
It really targets trustworthiness and access. First, there's a new DARPA-led program that's focused specifically on AI interpretability, control, and robustness.
Break that down. What does interpretability mean in a military context?
It's about making sure that high-stakes models, think sensing or targeting, can explain why they made a certain recommendation, that you can trust them, and that they won't fail when an adversary tries to trick them. It's essential if you're going to bet lives on it.
Absolutely. Okay, what else?
The plan also deals with resource bottlenecks. It ensures priority access to computing resources for DoD in a national emergency. Basically, through pre-negotiated deals with cloud providers, if the U.S. goes to war, the military's workload gets to jump the commercial compute queue.
So the military gets an express lane for compute power if things go sideways.
That's right. Then it mandates construction of high-security U.S.-based data centers that are tailored for military and intel workloads. And finally, it pushes DoD to operationalize its responsible AI toolkit and to basically export that framework to the rest of the federal government.
So it's a fully nested strategy. The NSS sets the high-level stakes, the NDAA forces compliance in the really core readiness areas, and then the action plan builds the national infrastructure, the data centers, the cloud access that the Pentagon is required to use.
They work in tandem, 100%.
All right, let's zoom out. How does this triad of documents fundamentally change how the military thinks about fighting and modernizing? The 2022 National Defense Strategy was organized around three ideas: integrated deterrence, campaigning, and building enduring advantage.
And we are seeing all three of those concepts shift dramatically. It's a shift from hardware-centric ideas to data-centric ideas. So integrated deterrence moves away from just being about physical presence, you know, maps of ships and planes. Credible deterrence now depends on AI-enabled battle networks, these multi-domain kill webs. Because the side that can observe, analyze, and decide the fastest is the side that wins.
And campaigning. That changes, too. It's not a static sequence on a calendar anymore.
No, it becomes continuous AI-assisted adaptation. Those NDAA pilots in maintenance, the action plan's test beds, they force DoD to treat every single operation as another data set to improve its models. Campaigns become these iterative learning loops. The real measure of success is how fast the enterprise can learn.
It's accelerating the OD loop.
At a massive scale. And then the third way, building enduring advantage, it just widens significantly. It's not just about people and platforms anymore.
It's about the bottlenecks.
Exactly. Thanks to the NSS and the action plan, things like data infrastructure, compute access, and energy capacity are now explicitly part of force design. They're not just background IT costs. If you can't power the AI, you can't build the advantage. That's the new logic.
That's the theory. But
yeah.
Is it actually happening? Are the services putting money in action behind this right now?
The answer is a resounding yes. They are not waiting. They are all nesting their plans to align with this triad, which shows AI is officially in the budget, not just the lab.
Okay, so give us some examples.
Take the Space Force. They call themselves the world's first digital service. Their whole FY25 action plan is focused on infrastructure, especially modernizing the Unified Data Library, the UDL.
What exactly is the UDL?
Think of it like a centralized, secure Wikipedia for sensors and AI models. It's a shared library where every branch can securely share raw data and vetted models, so they're not all reinventing the wheel. It's all about reuse and scale.
Okay, what about the Marine Corps?
They've gone beyond just strategy with their AI implementation plan.
Yeah.
This is a real blueprint with actionable and measurable tasks tied directly to their force design guidance.
And what do they emphasize?
The prerequisites. Data fabric, storage, compute, and this is important, DevSecOps environments. The Marines are making it clear that if you want to use AI in the field, you have to build that secure, automated pipeline first.
And the Army. They took maybe the most fiscally significant step of all.
They did. They're doing the sprint and scale approach. But the crucial detail for anyone watching the budget is that the Army is the first service to put money for an AI program into its program of record, the POM.
And explain why that is so important. Why does being in the POM matter so much?
Because R&D money is vulnerable. It can get cut year to year. POM funding is sustained, reliable funding. It locks AI into the military's long-term budget for 5 or 6 years at a time. It's the difference between funding an experiment and funding a battleship.
It's a permanent institutional commitment.
It's the real deal. And meanwhile, you have the Department of the Navy experimenting with generative AI at scale with DawnGPT in their cloud, and they're focusing on risk management. They're building wrappers that show users the risks of a model's output, which is right out of the action plan's playbook.
So the pattern across all the services is clear. Secure cloud and data fabrics are now the starting point for every single modernization conversation.
It's the price of admission.
What really stands out to me in all this, though, is how this defense logic is now crossing the border and shaping domestic security.
It's the ultimate spillover effect, isn't it? The defense logic that AI is a strategic asset that needs rapid deployment is inevitably shaping civilian agencies. DHS has an AI strategy. CISA has a roadmap for AI risk in critical infrastructure.
And we already see this on the ground. AI-enabled biometrics are routine at TSA and CBP checkpoints. You hear about the efficiency gains, but you also hear the privacy concerns.
And that tension is unavoidable. It's the core challenge. The defense AI logic, which prioritizes speed and accepts degree of risk, is now governing domestic AI at airports and borders.
Which raises a really important question for all of us.
It does. Should these domestic systems, like the TSA algorithm that flags your backpack, inherit the same level of secrecy we give to military targeting models?
Or should they be held to a completely different standard, one focused on civil liberties and due process first? That's the challenge when this competitive logic becomes the default for everything.
The framework has to be tailored to the mission. You can't just copy and paste.
So we've covered the entire emerging doctrine for USAI today. To just reiterate, the NSS sets the highest strategic stakes. The NDAA creates mandatory action inside the military's readiness corps, and the action plan builds the national infrastructure to sustain it all.
It's a clear three-part doctrine for defense AI. And the big open question that remains is whether we'll let that competitive, military-focused logic automatically set the rules for how AI touches everyday life here at home, or if we'll do the harder work of writing a separate framework for Homeland Security AI that starts with rights and transparency, not just with speed and advantage.
We encourage you to explore those service plans, especially the Marine Corps' emphasis on DevSecOps and the Army's big move to put AI money in the permanent program of record, to see just how deeply this logic is taking hold. We will see you next time for another deep dive.